Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you got it.
Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
The Locked On Bulls podcast.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. You know, Matt, I didn't expect to wake up from an overnight working at the Score and having our mentions filled in Locked On Bulls on Twitter, having my mentions filled. And that's never a good thing when I wake up to that. More times than not, when my Twitter is filled throughout my mentions and I haven't tweeted anything in less than probably about 24 hours, it's never a good sign. Why do we have to talk? Why is this happening? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this?
Why? Oh, goodness. What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, another tough day in Bulls paradise, huh? God, I feel like we are stuck in a human fucking centipede right now. If Phil Johnson or somebody else on the beat has published another column talking about reasons X, Y, and Z why it's growing more and more likely that Jim will remain this team's head coach next season. Like, what is this hellscape that we are trapped in?
Do they like to torture us? Is that part of the sick, twisted mind here going on, playing with the hearts and minds of Bulls fans? Because this, I can't take this for another 3 months of back and forth. Make a decision.
I know, man.
They need to make a decision at this point. And I don't know if they realize that or if the front office realizes that, but to backtrack really quick, if you didn't read it this morning, go read the Chicago Sun-Times, Joe Cowley's column, because it pretty much lays out the fact that the Bulls are going to use the excuse of the pandemic and having to cut costs financially and not bringing in sources of revenue to keep Jim Boylan on staff next year. Not only is that the biggest middle finger to your fan base, but it's a middle finger to Zach LaVine, it's a middle finger to Lauri Markkanen, and every other player on that team that has had issues, not concerning Jim Boylan himself, but the basketball coach that Jim Boylan is. So this is the first move you want to make? Good luck. 60% of your fan base, 70% of your fan base that actually came back and was excited 3 months ago is going to say, deuces, I'm out of here. I don't need to deal with this. I got plenty of other sports to watch other than this Bulls team to watch Jim Boylan embarrass himself for a season next year just so you can save a couple of bucks. I don't know how you feel, Matt, but this makes me super, super pissed off.
Yeah, and to me, it's not just the fans who would say deuces. If I'm Arturis, and this is actually what's happening, if this is actually what he's been told by ownership, that because of our financial situation and the loss in revenue that has, you know, come upon us because of this pandemic, and no fans through the, you know, turnstiles at the United Center, the Bulls season being cut short, et cetera, et cetera. Well, because of these reasons, it just makes sense for us fiscally to keep Jim Boylan. If I'm Arturis and I hear ownership tell me that, I am giving them the middle finger and walking the fuck out. Who in the NBA, you know, landscape of executives, you know, managers, owners, coaches, who among Arturis' colleagues would hold that against him? Because that is a complete contradiction to what he was told when the Bulls ownership pitched him the job. come here, affect change, build what you want to build, build out the organization, hire who you want to hire, do what you want to do, open checkbook for you. This is in your hands, full autonomy. That's what we heard. That is what the fan base was told. That is theoretically what Arturas was told. So if because of this pandemic, you're now 180ing on that as the Bulls ownership group and say, well, we really can't afford that right now. Guess what? That's a load of crap. Because it's not like they can claim that, well, we would have given Arturas full authority and an open checkbook, but we now are dealing with all of these losses in revenue and we're worried about money. Guess what? They hired Arturas in April, a month after the league shut down and this pandemic was sweeping the country and killing sports everywhere. Did they have no one in their front office staff, no one in their in their ownership group who had the foresight to predict unprecedented circumstances? The pandemic was already here and the NBA was already shut down when they hired AK. So basically, if this is what's happening, they lied to his face, they lied to the media, they lied to the fans. And once again, this is all about the Reinsdorfs being a penny-pinching, mom-and-pop bullshit organization.
All right, I want to follow up on that thought first, Matt. I don't want to forget about this. So let's talk to our friends about Rock Auto. Rock Auto has been a great sponsor for us here at the Locked On Podcast Network and at Locked On Bulls. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models in cars, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brands in his warehouse that they happen to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether that's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is uniquely and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On Bulls in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Matt, it's a complete lie. It's a complete lie. It's either a lie from AK and he's okay, and Mark Eversley and they're both okay for the time being with allowing the higher-ups, even higher than they are, to make decisions still based financially. And while they can't tell the owners how to spend their money and they can only ask and they can only give their best opinion, but you're right. It's not truly they have the keys to the car and they can drive this rebuild the exact way that they want to. It's like no, now you kind of have your permit the same way that the White Sox and Jerry Reinsdorf did this 10 years ago. Here's your permit, Rick Hahn. Kenny Williams is going to sit in the passenger seat and watch your every move, guide you, and tell you basically what you can and can't do. You'll be able to ultimately make a few decisions, but they're minor and things that should already be done until we say further. And it took damn near 3 years and some pretty fucking awful trades to finally allow Rick Hahn to do what he wanted to do. And look how long it's taken the Sox to get back to that point. We're in 2020, and this is the first year that I've actually watched competitive baseball in the last decade from the White Sox. So, you know, it doesn't take us long to rebuild and get back to semi-relevancy in the NBA, but we don't want that. That was 3 years ago. So my ultimate point is going back to what Reinsdorf has done. This isn't new, and we've explained this multiple times. He's done this with the Sox, and it pisses me off that he's doing this with the Bulls, especially knowing your fan base and how angry they were after the last couple of seasons and the calling for the front office. And, you know, even those guys that had to go out there and speak just a year ago in Paxson and in Foreman, the way that they got pressed in that month of February, and you see Paxton cracking, why did those guys have to be the ones to answer for some of this stupidity? And now it's going to be on AK and Mark Eversley to answer to these stupid demands instead of being the two people that actually want Jim Boylan to come back and are the reason why that he's coming back, in Jerry Reinsdorf or Michael Reinsdorf, and explain to us exactly why the financial situation is such a burden right now that the basketball team takes a back seat. And that's ultimately your money driver. Why does that take a back seat? Why?
Right. And that's why I've been trying to kind of nudge Bulls fans in the right direction on Twitter, those of whom are getting upset with Arturas and Eversley, and saying, oh my God, like, it's been a few months and I've already lost all faith and hope that I had about this front office, change. Like, what the hell are they doing? And, you know, I was tweeting about this earlier today. Those people who are giving up hope on this new front office and putting this whole idea of Jim Boylan staying on them, you've got it wrong. If this is actually happening, if we sit here, you know, four months from now, whenever the NBA season, the 2021 season kicks off, and Jim Boylan is actually on that sideline as this team's head coach still, there is only two reasons why that's happening. Ownership loves Jim Boylan so much that they lied to AK when they said, we'd like you to keep an open mind about retaining Jim Boylan, but it's not a must to get the job. And we care so much about money that we are insisting you keep Jim rather than paying him his $1.6 million and also hiring a new coach for an additional $2.5 million. That's how cheap we are. Nothing about that has anything to do with AK and Eversley. The only reason Jim might still be here is if they lied to their new front office and are insisting upon keeping Jim for those two reasons. So don't get mad at AK and Eversley. They're not the ones who are the problem here if Jim Boylan stays on. Because we all, as Bulls fans, those of us who were brave enough, watched the last season and a half of a Jim Boylan coached basketball team. We saw the Jim Boylan antics on the sideline. We saw Jim Boylan say ridiculous things at the postgame podium every night. We saw Jim Boylan throw his players onto the bus every night. We saw Jim Boylan ignore his players who were hurt, writhing in pain on the court several times. We have seen and heard Jim Boylan prove in so many ways that he is incompetent and incapable of being an NBA head coach. Do you think that AK and Eversley are smart enough to observe that without needing to, like, sit down and have a bunch of meals with Jim and watch a bunch of Jim's practices? All they got to do is watch the tape of the last, you know, season and a half where the Bulls are a team that's 20 games under 500. Where the coach, not the players, has blown so many winnable games. There is nothing about Jim Boylan, the basketball coach, that would make AK and Eversley want to keep him. Nothing. If he stays, it is all about ownership, and ownership lying to AK and Eversley when they pitch them the jobs.
This is the type of thing, Matt, that makes me want to put together a 25-minute of Jim Boylan's worst moments as a head coach on the basketball floor, and him commenting after the games, a 25-minute episode of just that, and release it on our feed, because it's absurd. It's absurd to tell your fan base, you know what, we asked you to be patient 3 years ago, and we're asking you, we made a couple changes, but we're asking you to be patient again with what's on the floor. This is a huge middle finger to Zach LaVine. I would not be shocked. Not be shocked at all as soon as this season it wraps up in the bubble, Zach LaVine goes to the front office, says, guys, I'm out. Get what you can for me, but I want out. I want nothing to do with this anymore. And I wouldn't blame him for a second.
The day that Zach LaVine hears, officially, Jim's going to stay on for 2021. You're absolutely right, Jordan. He's going and requesting a trade. Lowry Markkanen too. Get me out of here.
These guys don't want to play for Jim. These guys know it. The writing's on the wall, and as much as you've asked your players, and it seems to be a growing theme with these players, who, and that's a side note to all of this, who has talked with LaVine and all the rest of these guys in this locker room and basically said, give your political answer when asked about Jim Boylan anytime you are asked? And let's hide our guys too, by the way, and not let them speak or only give them one Zoom conference in the last 4.5 months to hear on how these guys are improving or what these guys are doing. And we have to go to Daniel Gafford's fucking Twitch to hear even a semblance of any opinion on what he has about his head coach. In what other city, in what other sport, in what other organization is there so much hiding behind the fact that you can't criticize somebody openly for what they're getting paid for? And that's Jim Boylan to coach this basketball team and coach it competently. We have to crawl around in these hidden sources, in these one-off podcasts, in these Twitch streams, just to get any little nugget of news or actual honesty from any of these players on this team. Half this team, Cowley joked about it, but it may not be a laughing matter if it becomes serious and saying there could be a second mutiny with this organization. If there's that many players on this team that are so dissatisfied with the performance of Jim Boylan and the way he structured this team, I mean, how do you pitch to nobody? We should stop the conversation right now until further notice about free agency and anybody coming here or having the likelihood of spending a quote-unquote $50 million in free cap space that we'll have at the end of the 2021 season. If Boylan's coming back even next year, you're going to have a year one head coach coming in and you're going to expect to sign big-time free agents. It's all a bunch of horseshit, and it's the Bulls in combination with feeling that they have power now because fans won't be in the seats, so the money that they were losing there that could have been either made up by making better decisions on the floor doesn't matter anymore for the 2021 season, Matt. I think the Bulls realize, and Jerry Reinsdorf realizes, that they're not going to have fans in the stadium. That was our only bargaining chip right now. We can yell and scream all we want on social media, but they don't give a fuck, man. When it hurts their pocket and fans stop showing up to the United Center like they did, we've seen change. It took time, but we saw change. Now that they don't give a fuck because they're not going to get that money anyway, they can do what they want for at least a year, and that makes me so mad, and it should make every Bulls fan out there angry.
But it also begs the question, like, just how does Jerry Reinsdorf have the memory of a fucking goldfish? We finally got them to hire some new people in the front office to effect some change. Because why? Because the Bulls were a national embarrassment when they hosted All-Star Weekend, and the United Center was half empty every night. Nobody gave a damn about this team. And Jerry finally started to notice it in his pocketbook. That's the only reason we got this change. So now, if his logic, and this is the pontification of what we've heard from several people who cover this team and know how the Reinsdorfs think and operate. If the logic is, well, if we can't have fans in the stands next season anyway, then it doesn't matter if they would all boycott because Jim Boylan is still on the sidelines. Does he think that all Bulls fans will just forget that a year after or whenever it is the next time the fans are allowed back in the United Center? Oh, just forget that one season where we knew you guys couldn't come through the turnstiles anyway, so we did a thing that we knew would piss you off. Jerry doesn't care about the fans and whether or not they're happy. He does care about money, but how could he be that short-sighted? It's like, well, 2021... fans aren't allowed in the stands anyway. And then what? The world ends in 2022? I mean, fuck, the way we're going, it might. Who knows? But here's the thing to think about. I was texting with my outside guys, John and Big Dave, about this earlier today to be like, dude, if it really is just like the $1.6 million to pay Jim to go away, not only has this team proven time and again that they're willing to pay coaches to go away and pay a lot more than Jim's salary. There are a million examples of that. Here's the other thing. The average revenue, the average ticket revenue per home NBA game is somewhere between $1 and $2.5 million. $1 and $2.5 million for one NBA home game in just ticket revenue. That doesn't include concessions. That doesn't include merch. That doesn't include raffle tickets, all the other ways that they make money on game night. And that's average. You would expect that a usually full United Center is on the upside of that. $3 million, maybe close to $4 million on some nights. You're talking about making up for paying Jim Boylan to go away in one or two home games the next time you allow fans back in your stadium. How ridiculous and short-sighted is it for them to say, well, the fans can't boycott because there can't be fans anyway, so let's save it $1.6 million and keep Jim Boylan. It's ludicrous.
If Michael Reinsdorf is listening to this, or if he's reading anything that the fans are saying, and If I could ask him one question, I would ask him this. Why are you doing this? And why did you tell us a few years ago that you care more than most fans out there? You care just as much as we do about the wins and losses and about the basketball product on the floor. And believe me, and I think most fans understand it when you say it's a business, but if it's that way, then act that way. Don't lie to us. Don't make us out to be fools, because we're not. Bulls fans are not fools. And they'll continue to burn the franchise the way that we're doing it right now. And I thought, Matt, we burned everything we could possibly do, and I thought the ashes were on the ground and we were at rock bottom. But, you know, time and time again, the Bulls just show that they're willing to buff out the scratches on their car and paint over the Knicks. But the real fix in the engine, the thing that actually controls the team, they don't want to get that fixed. They're going to run that into the ground. And until they double, triple, quadruple down on their mistakes, it just seems like nothing ever changes. Holistically, you know, stylistically, strategically, in terms of philosophy with this organization, the more things change with this organization, the more things stay the same. So my question would be to Michael Reinsdorf is, do you truly care about what the product is on the floor? If you don't, that's fine. That's totally fine. But don't ever tell the fan base, or don't ever come back out publicly and tell us that you care just as much about the wins and losses and about what the product looks like on the floor. Don't ever do that again. If you don't truly care about what's going on and you don't back it up with actions, then be the business owner that you are. Be the business owner. Don't say anything about the basketball side of the operations, and basically lay that out for your fan base, because that's what you're telling us right now is, I'm just going to lie and say I care about what's going on the floor only when it's beneficial for us financially and business-wise. Otherwise, I'm going to hang these other guys out to dry in the front office and the GM and the coach and the basketball operations guys to answer the questions that I ultimately should be asking. Jerry or Michael, I should be answering those questions, but I'm not going to. I'm going to let the guys that are getting paid to run the basketball side of things answer for those questions. It just doesn't make any sense, Matt. Why would you bring a new front office in here and immediately handcuff them? Unless, and I don't know. I'm not going to leave it out of the realm of possibility that AK and Mark Eversley agree to some extent with the front office and want to keep Boylan for another year to evaluate him. Because I'm not going to throw the full blame on the ownership, because there's got to be some pushback from AK or from Mark Eversley here if this is what you were just brought in 3 months ago to do.
But that's the thing, Jordan. Like, why? What reasons would they have from the standpoint of improving the basketball product and fixing the broken basketball in this organization and getting back to competitiveness and developing these young players that are stagnating? How do you, if you are AK or Eversley, in any way, based on all of the evidence, decide that retaining Jim Boylan will help you in any of that? We have seen no player development under Jim Boylan's tutelage. All the players, as you highlighted earlier, have said in whatever various PC way that they can, that they can't stand the guy. Why would AK and Eversley see any value when it comes to getting better at basketball to keeping Jim Boylan? Which also, you got to wonder, if this is just ownership being cheap as hell, as Bulls fans have all come to know them to be, and as you also said, you know, poor White Sox fans out there too, How do AK and Eversley sell this, like, on media day for the 2021 season if Jim is sitting next to them? Because it's not Michael or Jerry who's going to be sitting at that desk on media day talking about what are our goals for the season. Here we are. We're excited. Because who is that? That's front office and the head coach. So what are AK and Eversley going to say if Jim Boylan is sitting next to him and everyone at that media day is saying, wait, time out. Why the hell is that bald dude still here? What's going on here? How do they sell that to the media and the fan base? Other than they're not allowed to say, ownership is cheap as fuck and we weren't allowed to fire this guy. What do they say? How do they sell it? They can't.
they'll sell it this way. They'll say it's unprecedented times. We didn't get a chance to see Boylan with our own set of eyes. We didn't get to see our players come in here. We're going to evaluate Boylan with this season that we have coming up, and we'll have guys fully healthy. It could give us a chance to look at the entire roster. It's the same horseshit we heard from Gar Foreman and John Paxson 3 years ago. It's the same horseshit we heard 2 years ago. Same horseshit we heard last year. And it's the same BS that we got jammed down our throat right before Hoiberg got the boot. It's the same crap. It's the same exact crap. And I don't know if it's almost hard for me to believe that it's the money, almost because it's $1.5 million. It's more the fact that they'd want the Yes guy to stay there and do exactly what they want him to do. I don't get it, man. I really don't get it. I don't know how you can run a basketball organization and still, after 18 months and a season and a half, still believe that Jim Boylan is the best option you have right now to go out and try to show your fan base that you have any semblance of knowledge or path to this rebuild. It's so fucked up, Matt, that we talked about 3 years ago what the path of this rebuild was going to be. And while we saw some clear vision at some points and stretches, for the most part, there's been a lot of downs where we've said, all right, it's getting pretty foggy here, man. I don't know what path we're on or where we're going with this rebuild. And it really pisses me off, and it makes me more angry, and I probably shouldn't do this to myself, but does it go back again to the money thing? Like, they didn't want to pay Butler, man. They promised us a rebuild. They promised us that they were going to invest in making this right and actually getting this back to the point where we wanted this to be at. And to me, all it says to me is, we saved some money. We saved over $150 million by not having to pay Jimmy Butler. We sold the fan base down the road on younger players that were going to be cost-controlled and cheaper. And we were praying. We were praying that 2008 was going to happen again and that we were going to get a number one pick and we were going to land one of these studs in the next two drafts. And they didn't do that. They floundered. They floundered. And even when they were the fourth overall in the draft lottery and they actively tanked. They still ended up going from fourth to seventh. So anytime the Bulls try to do something and they do it half-assed, they get it stuck back up their ass. So I don't know, man. I feel like we're in the same spot where we were heading into year one of the rebuild that we are going into year four, minus some ancillary players and some coaching staffs and personnel that doesn't really matter in the whole scope of things. Jeff Tanaka doesn't matter. Gar Foreman ultimately doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when you're still making, when the philosophy is still the same. You've just replaced the name and the person in front talking to us. It's just, it's fucking wild, man, that they still think after all this time that this fan base is going to put up with this. It's so wild and so wild that you would want to continue to keep doing this to your fan base and continue selling your fan base a bunch of bullshit and a bunch of lies. I just don't get it.
And, you know, the ripple effects of this. And I think you kind of touched on it earlier when you talk about the perception that's out there, the perception problem that this organization has had for a while, and that AK and Eversley are both aware that part of their job was going to be fixing the image of this team that has become an embarrassment and a laughingstock across the league. People clown the Bulls. The Sacramento Kings have been clowning the Bulls. Everyone, All-Star Weekend, including greats, Hall of Famers, and some of whom were winning titles in Bulls jerseys back in the day, were clowning this organization on national TV. And even if you eventually convince ownership that you got to move on from Jim, you're going to do more harm than good by keeping him on one more year, even if, like, there's no fans in the stands and what's the harm and, you know, we'll save a few bucks. The greater harm that you will do when it comes to that public perception and all of the factors that are affected by that, most notably getting big name stars to come play here. Because right now, none of them want to play here. None of them want to play for Jim Boylan. We had a players poll The Athletic put out that proved as much. None of the players in this league want to play for Jim Boylan. but it goes beyond and above Boylan because it's not just this one coach who's saying and doing ridiculous things and treating his players like children and putting them in position to lose every night. It's the ownership that is a bigger public perception problem because they constantly do this kind of shit where players are seen as unimportant and there is no loyalty whatsoever. And yes, that can be said across the board in professional sports. Business over loyalty happens a lot. But in recent years with the Bulls, there are a million examples. And I think people feel that way about this organization across the league. They're also a team that has a reputation for being cheap. Cheap when it comes to pitching those free agents that they're trying to get to come play here. So the explanation of we're keeping Jim Boylan because money, even if they do eventually relent on that, all of this stuff in the meantime, people are watching, people are reading these headlines, and they're pointing and laughing. You're doing damage by letting this continue. And I think going back to your first question when we opened the show, yeah, I do think that the Joe Cowley gets a little bit of pleasure out of poking the bear, so to speak, writing this stuff because he knows it's driving the Bulls fan base crazy. I don't think Casey operates in the same way. I think Casey was writing a column about, hey, here's reasons X, Y, and Z why it might be prudent for the front office to not ask for permission to fire Jim, because Casey in many ways has always been a voice for the organization and in some ways kind of like kowtows to their agenda. You know, you and I both know and respect Casey, but I'm not afraid to say that. I think there is a level of truth to that. Shout out to Darnell Mayberry at The Athletic, who's the one on the beat right now who's writing columns that essentially say, what the fuck is going on here? None of this makes any sense. But that public perception stuff, it's out there. It's all doing more damage to this organization's image right now that AK and Eversley have been tasked to fix. Whereas if they had just said, Jim, thank you for your time. We're going to go in a different direction. We're going to have an extensive coaching search. In the meantime, we're going to put some of the new people we've hired in place in the player development staff and one of our assistant coaches to take the helm in this extensive offseason. And we'll get back to you soon on an update with our coaching search. What harm would you do by doing that and dismissing Jim? Because the harm you're doing to your image right now is hella worse than whatever that would do.
It goes back to the same thing that we've talked about many, many times here, that I truly don't think, and maybe it changes when Michael takes over fully, I truly don't think that they care what the product is on the floor. And maybe they did to some semblance this year because they were losing money. But like you said, I don't know how this helps you long term or even short term. What player is going to want to hear that and hear and you're delusional if you don't think players check social media and are reading exactly what Bulls fans are saying, especially guys that had any idea or any semblance of thinking, hey, maybe Chicago might be a place down the road. You can wipe all of that away. You know, the monumental task you're asking just on a level playing base to sign a free agent here, considering the historic things that we've talked about earlier in this week about how Bulls can't sign free agents and Chicago just isn't a destination for free agents in any sport, really. And that's backed up by history. And then you do this again, Matic. It's the same philosophy that the Charlotte Hornets or the, I don't know, pick your small market team, man. It's the same mentality those teams should be having, not one that's worth $3.2 fucking billion, one that held the House of Jordan, the one that just had a 10-part documentary series where you don't mean to tell me that you didn't make money off of that documentary series while fans weren't able to attend your shitty games that you were going to trudge out Ryan Arcidiacono, and no offense to him, or Adam Akoka or any of those guys, and still force Bulls fans to pay $80 to $100 to sit in the 300 level. Like, come on, man. At some point, something's got to give here. And While I will be patient on this thought, and I won't say that I fully believe it, I'm starting to churn some of these thoughts out about things that Paxson had said, you know, right before he was promoted and then pretty much told, you don't ever have to speak again. The idea a year ago where he said, perception isn't reality and we shouldn't think like that. I don't know if that's Paxson talking anymore, man. The more I think about it, the more I wonder if that's something that was time and time again just repeated over and over and over and over again in that Bulls organization, trying to remind him that perception is reality. But I have a tough time believing that he thinks that, considering the way he kind of melted down on the radio and was just so aggravated and fed up with having to answer these bullshit questions over and over again. And he just doesn't seem like that type of guy. And it goes back to the overall growing theme that I feel like a lot of the messages that are spewed to the media from anybody that talks, whether it be Boylan, whether it be the players even, geez.
Right. Right. I think I said that when we were talking about John recently, like with those frustrations that you heard him, in that interview, I think that informs the fact that he does care. John does care what the fan base thinks of him and the organization. And it had been bothering him a lot that he had to go on these justification/apology tours on, you know, sports talk radio as this rebuild had been floundering over the last few years, because it hurt his feelings. Because he knew that he was partly, if not largely, responsible for the shortcomings of this organization. Clearly, the Reinsdorfs should take blame and ownership as well. Jerry hasn't spoken to the public about, you know, the status of his teams in forever. And Michael only does so very seldomly. John's the one that was out there having to try and take those bullets. So, like, I think that John did care. What's frustrating for the fan base when they remind themselves of it or when they realize it for the first time, Jerry and Michael don't give a fuck. Like you were saying earlier, when Michael has said recently on record, like, oh, you know, I probably care more than the fans do about winning versus losing. And I hate watching the team lose. I get so frustrated. That's a bunch of BS. They're a billionaire family. And I know some people have been playing the devil's advocate recently, being like, well, just because the Bulls were valued at $3.2 billion and the Sox were valued at, you know, whatever, $1 billion, doesn't mean that they, like, have that much money in their bank accounts. You know, they're taking a hit, too. It's like, okay, yes, technically, you are right. If you are so worried about paying a coach $1.6 million to go away, if that's really going to, you know, put a worrisome dent in your various bank accounts, then sell the team. Sell the team, because you can't claim that, oh, well, we have to make these decisions on for the organization's best interest from a financial standpoint right now when that organization is valued at $3.2 billion. You just can't. Because if you're really that worried about that money, sell the team and then you'll have fucking plenty.
I'm not one to tell anybody how to spend their money, but don't lie. Don't lie when we spend our money. We spend our money on the Bulls because we love the players, we love the organization, what it was supposed to be about, Matt. What the city is built on. And over the last several years, man, for the most of my lifetime, anybody out there who's in their mid-20s or early 20s that didn't even get a taste of the dynasty, this is all we ever know. This is all that we ever know is incompetency, lies, mistruths, half-truths, a bunch of bullshit, and it's fine. If this is the way that you want to do it, that's fine. I will just tell you right now, unless you land a number one pick that is an absolute superstar like LeBron James or Kevin Durant or somebody like that in the next 10 years, I don't care what you do. I don't care who you bring in. Fans are going to continue to go away or continue just not to pay attention. And maybe Reinsdorf cares even less now that his team on the south side of the city is doing a lot better. Maybe he doesn't give a shit as much about the Bulls and the pressure that's on to push the Bulls back to somewhat relevancy. This is their goal, Matt. I hate to say this, but mediocrity for the time being, I think, is what their goal is, at least until they can figure out what the hell that they're going to do with these young players. And again, I don't think there's any pressure on them. They talked about pressing the gas pedal in year three and ramping things up, and you made small moves and you allowed the last front office to make small moves to try to get this team better and more competitive. And it didn't work. It didn't work when you tried to half-ass it, when you tried to band-aid it, and you tried to pull the cloak over Bulls fans' eyes, and it didn't fucking work, and it backfired on you. And that's no fault to Otto Porter Jr., and that's no fault to any of the players that they moved here, signed in the offseason, to try to bring them in. They tried to piecemeal bullshit together, and there's so many examples of them trying to do this. Go back to Jabari Parker. There's another one that they tried to band-aid and tried to woo fans and let's win the press conference, and look how that turned out. It's time and time again, any part of the organization, any part of history, even if you want to take the money part out of it, man, just the basketball shit in general, it's so tiring, and it's the same theme over and over and over again. And the last thing I want to say, Matt, on this is, it may sound like for the last 42 minutes, you and I have absolutely shit on the Bulls, and that's probably true, but that doesn't take away the fact that I love this team, and we love this organization. We wouldn't be doing this if we didn't care, and Bulls fans wouldn't be ripping you 24 hours a day on Twitter, and you wonder why your social media team has such a hard time having to deal with all of the comments that just flood in no matter what they post on Twitter or Instagram. It's all fire Jim Boylan, or it's all this organization is trash. They don't read that, but do you wonder why that's like that? If you ever stopped for a second to wonder why that's like that, it's because Bulls fans still care, and you're lucky that they still do, because I think last year you got a taste of what a fraction of this fan base feels like, so much so that they're saying, you know what, I'm done even paying attention to this team. And they finally started to get a taste of that last year. And that's going to continue to happen if they continue on this path, man.
I mean, and like, yeah, I'm with you too, Jordan. I care more about this. I mean, you know, I'm a Chicago sports fan, die hard across the board through and through. But this will always be my team. That one team, the passionate sports fans say, that is my team. The Bulls have been my team my whole life. And so many fans have asked me over the years, like, oh my God, haven't you had enough? You know, when is enough? When do you say enough is enough and walk away? I won't ever be able to. And I do not fault the fans that have, and the fans that are considering it right now at this very moment as they listen to us over the past 40 minutes. I love them too much. Like, I cannot walk away. It's like, you know, being codependent on a drug or something like that. And I still, as much as we talked through all of the various frustrations of if Jim stays, how in every way possible, it doesn't make any sense, and it will make the entire fan base mad. That to me, after I go on these, you know, these tangents and these rants and, you know, these mind traps inside my own brain to say what, well, if this, then that, and how the hell does any of this make sense? And I get myself all worked up and frustrated. It reminds me that it all stems from passion. It all stems from passion as a fan. And I am still trying my very best to look at the optimism of finally hiring some new people, finally seeing Gar Forman walk out the door, finally feeling like a fresh page might have been turned. And also thinking that there is still nothing official. Joe Calley wrote another column today. Got a lot of Bulls fans upset. Got a lot of Bulls fans saying, are you freaking kidding me? What the heck's going on? This doesn't make any sense. There is no official word that Jim is returning. A lot of Bulls fans took that column that Joe wrote today and took it as official announcement. The Bulls will retain Jim Boylan for the 2021 season, because that is the reactionary attitude that Bulls fans have. That is the alarmist feeling that Bulls fans have felt recently. And again, I don't blame any of you for it. We've gone through a lot of stuff. As I've said, you know, recently, it's like having PTSD. I'm still holding out hope that all of the logical things that lead to you should dismiss Jim Boylan and hire a new coach will lead AK and Eversley to bringing that to the ownership and saying, we have to do this, and that it will still happen. They will still fire Jim. I'm still holding out for that hope because I'm still a fan of this team. And like, if that day comes, if the Bulls play their opening night game for the 2021 season and Jim is still this team's head coach, watch out. Do, you know, do not look at me walking down the sidewalk. I don't know what I will do if that's the case. I'm just trying to tell myself that that is not the case yet.
Let me leave you Bulls fans with this. This was damn near 3 years ago on 670 The Score in October, before the Bulls kicked off the first season of actual play in 2017. Here's Michael Reinsdorf.
It's not the fans' job to love management, by the way. They love the players. They love the sport. But it's not their job to love ownership and the management side of the business.
Okay.
Well.
Okay.
Good thing he feels that way, because guess what? Nobody in this fan base loves ownership. Nobody.
And you can't take it out on the fan base for being very angry and for bringing their pitchforks and their torches and wanting to just completely give up. And I know the only thing, and I will say this about Cowie, and it's been great, because a lot of the stuff, at least recently, Matt, we've been getting has been truthful. And I know he's one of the most well-connected people, and I know Casey is too, as well. And maybe they haven't made a complete decision yet, but I think sitting back and being kind of passive about this whole thing, and letting the startup of baseball, letting the NBA bubble, letting all of these sports come back, and the Bulls kind of be in an afterthought, letting that happen and not being vocal about the changes that still are needed to be made about this team, I think that's a bad idea. And I think for Bulls fans, if you want change to happen, I think being continuing to be vocal is the only bargaining chip we have left. It used to be you could stop going to games and stop supporting that way. But now it's a matter of being vocal. And if we're passive and we kind of just sit back and let things fall and let them make decisions, it's going to be the ultimate outcome we don't want to happen, and that's boiling back. And they continue to do the same things that they do. The only time I've ever seen change with this team in recent history is the overwhelming amount of vocal disdain for everything that was going on with this organization, on top of the money they were losing because fans weren't showing up. So at least for now, whether it be true or not, whether we know for sure or not, I think as a Bulls fan, being smart and being vocal any chance you can, I think is the only path right now if you do want to see change in other places besides just the front office, which they have done. And, you know, I'm going to be super disappointed, man, if AK and Mark Eversley, if they start spewing company lines the next time that we hear a Zoom conference from them, whether it be a month. It'll be a month. It'll be a couple weeks from now, Matt. And you sure as hell know they're going to get questions about this leading up to the NBA lottery, because they're going to have to do a Zoom. So in, what, 2.5, 3 weeks, we're going to hear from either one of those guys. And they're going to get a question about Jim Boylen. They're going to get probably more questions right about Boylen than they will about the NBA draft or the NBA lottery.
Well, and, you know, the fact that we now know pretty concretely that the whole second bubble thing isn't going to happen, and that was maybe one reason why they were hanging on to Jim, so that they could evaluate him in that stretch of games or whatever competition that was, and then use that as another piece of evidence to come to ownership and say, look, we evaluated Jim. We spent some time with him. We watched him, you know, do practices and pregame walkthroughs. And we had the experience of observing Jim up close. And here it is. We still want to move on from him. Now that that's off the table, because the second bubble ain't going to happen, those questions about why is Jim here still will only get louder and louder, because as much as it might be nice to do the professional thing, quote unquote, to give Jim every opportunity to keep his job, I mean, at what cost, when you start looking completely ridiculous for keeping him around?
I'm not going to dispute you on that. You're right.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. So I don't have any gas left in the flamethrower, Matt. Not today. I didn't think I was going to have to bring it back out 2 times in 2 weeks. And it might just be a weekly recurrence until we get a decision here. And seems like that's been the case. But give us your thoughts.
I'm about to turn my phone off, get in a canoe, and just like float down a river in the middle of nowhere. For real. That's literally what I'm about to do. So I hope all you Bulls fans out there survive the weekend. I'll talk to y'all on Monday. Jesus.
If everybody's got to find a way to, I think, unwind after this news. And give us your thoughts, though. You got something burning? You just want to lay out your thoughts as a Bulls fan, somebody who spends money on this team, somebody who pays attention, somebody who's actually a dedicated and loyal fan, so much so that you're listening to a podcast daily about it. Give us your thoughts. 331-979-1369. You can drop us a voicemail there. You can drop us a text message. Doesn't matter the time. The voicemail text message line is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So you got a burning thought, hit us there. Hit us on Twitter, too, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Our email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. If you can't reach us at either of those spots, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. Send us messages there, too. We'll try to get to everything at the start of the week next week. For Matt Peckham, Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com